You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful, beautiful day here. And I have some very nice guests, guests plural. We have a full house. And they want to talk and they want to talk and share with you and everyone out there what's going on. Most of you know of the furlough Friday in the schools. Well, I was fortunate enough to get in touch with the Save Our Schools Hawaii, the group that were I guess need a badge of honor or get my respect because they took upon themselves to take up on the issue of what was happening to approximately 171,000 children here in our public schools. And they went before the governor and went into her office and wanted to dialogue, as they describe it, but, you know, arrogance prevails when you're a governor and you have it your way. You don't have to listen to the people that basically you're governing or voting, that have voted for you and invested in you. So what happened, you, as you know, some of you know, they were arrested and all, but we're going to let them share with you the full story and what's to come and the impacts and all of those things. And I have Miss Margaret Higa, or Marguerite Higa, Jill Tao, Carrie Lau, Mr. Michael Doyle, Miss Mary Weir. And they're with the Save Our Schools Hawaii in that effort. And hopefully in the future, if we see this behavior again, that I can, we don't have room to have the people come in and sit on the show. We'd have to hold the show in the stadium or something. I want all of you to get out there and support this. This is about our children. We all talk about save the keiki. It's for the keiki. And somehow we all missed the bus on this one. And but fortunately, there were some people watching. So having said all of that, good morning and thank you for joining. And say hello to the listeners out there. And believe it or not, there's one out there named M, and there's many others, Ed and all. And so good listeners, and we'll embrace you, but also spank you if you don't do the right thing. So anyway, just teasing, they're not violent. My listeners are not violent. Okay, good morning. Thank you for coming.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having us. My name is Marguerite Higa, and I'm here with Save Our Schools. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, this all started last year when we realized that the kids were really going to be kept out of school. I mean, all this, you know, leading up to it, I don't know, personally, I just thought this was never going to happen. I mean, no adult in their right mind is going to take school away from kids just to save a few bucks. You know, I mean, I know it's a lot of bucks, but still, this is taking education away from children. But then it actually happened, and this agreement was reached, and I just, you know, I think we were all just blindsided and totally shocked and taken by surprise. And so we began, you know, talking at school. I'm a parent. Jill here is a parent at Noilani Elementary School. And, you know, we're like, we just got to do something about this. This just can't, you know, this can't keep going on. And so, you know, there was that huge rally on October 23rd formed by Hawaii Education Matters. They were actually organized before we were, and they got this huge rally with Jack Johnson. There were thousands of people there. It was great. We're like, awesome. There's going to be a huge outreach. People aren't going to let this go, you know. But after that, there was nothing. So I don't know. We were just thinking that, well, you know, people just must not realize what a huge travesty this is and how much the kids want to be in school. And so, you know, we started really focusing on trying to give a voice to the kids, because it seemed like the one thing that was left out of all this was somebody speaking for the kids or allowing the kids to express how they felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing sign wavings. We had a protest every single Furlough Friday. After the third one, my daughter said, "Mommy, are we going to have 17 protests?" And I was like, "No, honey, there's no way this is going to go on for that long."
Well, let me ask you, how did it feel after you witnessed this great concert and a gathering of hundreds, if not thousands, of people at the Capitol? And then it dwindled down to a few. How did that leave you feeling abandoned, or did it not discourage you? What can you?
I'm Jill Tao. I'm mm-hmm. also a parent of a child in public school. It was very discouraging.
especially when we would use the rallies as opportunities at the Capitol to go up, walk into legislative offices and say, okay, look, there's all these people here. People are asking you to maybe call a special session and deal with education directly. So the feeling among us was we had public support, there was general support among the population at large, and why wouldn't the elected officials want to respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
And we were told in office after office, we really don't think that the outrage is that great. We don't think that this is really an issue for people.
And this is our legislators that's telling you this?
These were leadership in legislative offices.
Well, on this show, we like to name names because Mickey Mouse could go there and hide out. You know, I noticed, for example, Mr. Marcus Oshiro, he had comments and as if he was... Did he get involved and help you?
At the very beginning, no.
Okay.
We found very few friends in the legislature, which surprised us.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who did come out early on and say, you know, this is an issue that we need to address. But the overwhelming feeling I think that we got was, you know, that's very nice. You're very nice people, but you're really not very important, and go home and take care of your kids.
Because it was the issue didn't seem to be as complex or serious or what?
I think people's feelings were that the parties who had the most vested in this, which were the HSTA, the DOE, the BOE, and the governor's office, mm-hmm. had already come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the legislature had played their role already, and therefore we had had our opportunity to have our say. So this was like crying over spilt milk. So in a sense, we were being reprimanded for not paying attention when negotiations were going on.
We got that a lot.
Yeah.
Where were you back in June, or where were you last year, or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, like, come on, we elected you people to do your job. You know, you're telling us we have to come and do your job for you,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I do have to say that there were a couple of people, especially Lila Bird, mm-hmm. and Gary Hoosier, you know, they were very outraged by this all, too. And mm-hmm. they couldn't seem to rally their troops,
mm-hmm.
you know, to come out earlier. Because we really were pushing for a special session mm-hmm. early on.
Mm-hmm. And they were agreeable and amenable to that. Berg and
yeah,
very much so.
Yeah, especially Lila. I mean, she was just this affected her as much as us. I mean, I couldn't sleep at night. I mean, that's what kept me going. You know, every week after week that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really sad to see. You know, at first everybody was outraged, but everybody, I think, you know, everybody just felt like, oh, this is Hawaii, nothing's going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
so this feeling of settling in and just getting used to it, I think, kind of took over everybody. And that was really sad, and especially to see it in the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was just really horrible. You know, so to combat part of that, what Joel was saying about the legislators, I mean, I think part of the problem, too, is that a lot of the leadership, our political leadership, don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lingle doesn't have children. Her right-hand person doesn't have children, Linda Smith. And then the leadership, I don't believe Hanabusa has children.
I don't know.
So it just didn't seem like they felt it like we felt it, you know. But anyway, to try to highlight the kids' voices, we did this campaign called 1,000 Children's Voices, and we solicited all kinds of expressions from kids. We asked them, how do you feel about the furloughs? You know, the leaders don't think you care. Is that true? You know, and we got letters, we got artwork, we got beautiful poems from kids, and the worst part was these expressions over and over again. I care, do you care? Stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. You know, like, I'm just a small kid, and I'm worried about my education. I care, do you? You know?
mm-hmm.
And then older kids worried about their future, you know, expressing that they felt like their future was slipping away. kids expressing that they were feeling like they were getting dumber, that what they had previously learned is now getting lost. And that just, you know... So then we had it displayed in the Capitol.
Yeah, and that was quite an interesting journey in and of itself, because we went and we got permission, as all displays in the Capitol do. You get permission from the Sergeant at Arms office and from the DAGS people. And so we filled out all the proper forms. We met with all the proper people. We explained what we were going to put on the walls. And they very graciously let us put up these poems and pictures and posters and things, done all by children in public schools and around the state, in the basement of the Capitol, over on the House side near the chambers. And some of the artwork, as you might expect for talking about furloughs, was aimed directly at the governor, saying, "Dear Governor Lingle, why did you let furloughs happen?" Because these are kids. You know, if they're going to talk in a letter to someone, they're going to address whoever they think is in charge. Mm-hmm. And in the state of Hawaii, the governor is supposed to be in charge. And so there were some rather nasty attempts to have the display taken down because it was viewed as, quote, political, by members of the minority party in the House and the Senate. And so...
And then they got... who is the head of DAGS? He actually ordered it taken down.
Russell, the comptroller. Russell Saito? Is that
Yeah. So here we are with kids' artwork being... We're censoring children's free speech in the Capitol.
In the Capitol.
While you've gotten permission to display
them. Right.
Legal right to...
Right, and so Russell Saito was saying, well, we didn't know that it was going to be this kind of display.
He said, this is not art, this is political speech.
So, what is the age of some of these children, if you would, share with the listeners?
It went from preschool all the way up to the 12th grade.
Yeah, mostly elementary, I would say.
But
there were high school,
and
there were kindergarten.
And so the Russ Saito say that it was political statements rather than simple expression.
He was quoted in the paper.
It was really shocking. I guess he doesn't realize that there are any political statements in art. I don't know.
Well,
ever.
Well, you know, that's the problem when you just recycle the same. I mean, Russell Saito has been in every position in the government that you can. So, you know, that's why we need to bring people from outside with new ideas, or at least read a book.
Yeah.
Or at least go to a art gallery and, you know, stop at the Guggenheim, stop at, you know.
Well, there's art galleries all over Chinatown. It's a block from the Capitol.
And he would see that, wow, there's politics in that art. But that's the ignorance, and that's what, because they politicize it.
Yes.
Any issue. And then that brings me to an interesting point, that while I was taken aback by the behavior of the governor and DAGS, while they required the people for 444 to obtain a permit and then restricted them, but then she invited a select few of parishioners or clerical type clergymen or pastors or preachers, I don't know what they call themselves, but they were invited to hold a private prayer.
Vigil.
In the governor's office.
On the fifth floor.
Separation of church and state. But yet, the children, they're told, not only were you arrested for speaking out for them, the controller then tells you to take them down because they're making a political statement, and he is the one who required a permit of the people with the
approved it himself,
and then allowed the other group to assemble, protest, sing, disturb, distract, because it was a working building and it was people coming and going to do business. So for myself personally, I witnessed that, and I was thinking,
yeah,
what's the value here? Education?
They did the same thing to us, too, with requiring insurance and approvals and stuff. At the last, on the very last Furlough Friday, we had this really large event called the Teach-In, and so we just tried to provide an educational opportunity for kids on the Furlough Friday, and we got people to donate money to bring kids from homeless shelters and around the island, you know, to bus them in so they can have a day of fun and learning. And it was open to the public, and we had, you know, really good turnout, and, you know, things were really ramping up. And then at the last second, they say, oh, you can't have a permit. You have to have an insurance coverage for $1 million, you know. And we're like, what? You know, and we had other things at the Capitol, and suddenly what was going on? You know, they're, like, changing the rules on us, you know. And then we had people... Lila Berg's office was calling in. She's got her lawyer involved trying to get them, like, what, you know, what is going on? Why are you putting on these extra requirements? And then they said, oh, well, the rule's always been there, but it's just never been enforced. We're only enforcing it on, you know, basically they're only enforcing it on us because we had children there. But they had children's events, like, in that month before we were there, and none of them were required to have this special insurance policy.
You both are in academia, or are you?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware of this, but within government and the government offices, there is a little box that says, break and use in time of politics when you want to screen or something, so they can pull this law out and say, well, you know, when needed, apply it. See? There, I don't know if you've seen that little box up there, but the politicians.
No, we spent a lot of time up there.
Well, it's there, but and they have no problem accessing it either.
But it is it's just a huge issue, freedom of speech. I mean, you know, not every group of people who has, you know, they feel that they have something important to tell their leaders of government, they're not going to be able to do that kind of thing. So to put those kinds of requirements on people, you know, it's really going to limit people's rights to freedom of speech.
Well, I'm really just elated that you're here, because I hear all the time when I turn on the boob tube, I sit there and I go, you shouldn't be watching this, first of all. But then I hear the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, oh, we're here for the people, and we want to take back America and give it back to the people. And you're here demonstrating that neither party give a darn about the people when they're even taking away the expression of children. Not taking away from the fact that they're sitting at home now and the hardship, and we'll talk about that. But if you'd like to call in and ask a question or comment to members of Save Our School Hawaii, please do so at 524-1080, 524-1080. And if you want to learn more about this organization and their efforts, and SOS808.org, www.SOS808.org. The phone number is 808-636-3283. And call and give some support. But again, carolcox.com, you can pick it up on the internet at about 10:15 today, this whole show. But one of the things that also troubles is that how many of you were arrested, and what happened with that? And we'll readjust and talk about it. But getting ahead of myself, so you shouldn't tell me all these good things. But one thing I do want to say is that why, you heard me say earlier, I like to name names, because what happened, we as people, the lay people, we tend to respect that. We don't want to name names because we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to maim them or malign them. But we also hurt ourselves when we don't name anyone. You take, for example, Lila Berg, mm-hmm. Gary Hoosier. They were out front, and they put aside their position. They could have been as cozy and snug as a bug in a rug like the rest of the politicians, mm-hmm. and said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I encourage people to mention names, because we cripple ourselves when we not mention anybody, the ones that harmed or helped us. So it's important, mm-hmm. so the people can go away and discern for themselves who helped and who didn't. So let's hear it for Lila Berg. And let's hear it for Gary Hoosier, because education is important, and I hear that mantra now, but I want to see it lived. And it's historically, I know that certain schools are not afforded that opportunity, but when you take an entire school system.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, well, it floored all of us. I mean, we understood that the state budget was in disarray and that revenue forecasting was down and that everybody was going to be taking a hit. But I think what also surprised us was just the lack of leadership in all around, and especially in the office of the governor. We had some high hopes when she came back from China and said, well, we can use $50 million from, you know, the rainy day fund to help address the furloughs. And thought, okay, yay, we're going to start a dialogue again. And then the parties got retrenched.
Well, then she said, oh, you know, everybody was blaming everybody else. And even the... like Colleen Hanabusa's office, we called her office and we're like, what are you doing to stop the furloughs? And they're like, are you guys calling the union? You know, like they wanted us to call the union. Like, no, I'm asking, what are you doing?
You should have just said, hey, Colleen, Ms. Senator, you know, while you're getting that check for support and endorsement, can you just inconvenience them and yourself to ask, what are you doing for the children?
Yeah. I was shocked at how, you know, even the Democratic leadership sort of were pretty anti-union. I mean, they were really blaming union for this huge mess. And, you know, and we were happy to blame everybody. I mean, we were like, what about the kids? You know, that was our whole thing. So we actually, we did go and talk with everybody. I mean, Will Okabe knows me. You know? I mean, I met Al Nagasako and I'm sorry, I forgot the guy before him, but we knew all of them. And, you know, we met the BOE, you know, we talked to all of them. And, you know, although we wish that they had done more earlier, it was obvious that they didn't like it either and that they were doing everything that they could. And we told them, look, you have to sacrifice. This is children you're talking about. And so after that, after we met with the union, they actually met again with the BOE and the DOE, and they came up with a solution that mm-hmm. they could live with and that, you know, those parties could live with. But the problem was the governor wasn't involved. She was invited, but she never came. You know, she sent her representative, and then they would have a little discussion, then she would leave.
And then the representative had no authority to make decisions on her behalf.
Now, this is rumored. Yeah. I heard that her representative came and saw some of those paintings and the artwork, and they weren't flattering of her, so went back and said, don't go, they're saying bad things about you. They may hurt your feelings. You know, it's a personal thing. But,
well, it could be.
Yeah, I think it is. It's, you know, when you children, I mean, you can bring in people that solar farms and plankton farms and all of that because you're going to better the community of Hawaii or the economy of Hawaii. But then you dumb down the children here, which is a greater resource, is more valuable, who's going to learn to read and write and learn to be businessmen and women, businesswomen and all of the doctors and lawyers, and yet you deprive them, but you're courting, you're running off to China and spending money there. I mean, that's when the importance, but I want to share one little story with you. I think I shared a wee bit with Marguerite, but in preparation for you for coming on, I'm sitting at the traffic light there at Waipio, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm excited, and this is going to be good because this is a story that needs to be told and kept in there and let people know who did and who did not do anything. And a car turns in front of me, and it goes into the parking lot at Costco. And it's a white car, and then I see a state emblem on it, and it's about 7 o'clock in the evening. It's getting dark. And I look and I see three little heads bobbing up. And I'm thinking, wow, why is a state car at 7 o'clock at night going to Costco? You know, usually the state offices, nobody works at 4:30, you know. So I pull up and I'm looking to see for official use only, and I World Alma Wonder, and asked the gentleman, is this official business? What's it to you? What business is it of yours? Well, I'm a taxpayer. I'm just curious, is it official business? And two little kids get out of the car, and there's a car seat. So I go around the other side and take some pictures of it, and it says, Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was smart mouth, and he left and went in and shopping, and so I took more pictures. And then I called the following day. To make a long story short, what was found was that I filed a complaint. They tracked down the car. The car was belonging to Moana Lua High School driver's ed program.
Mm.
And I'm informed that they have 60 such cars in their pool, that 60 people get to take these cars home out of that pool. Now imagine the gas annually that is spent. And imagine the wear and tear. And then there's also a stipend or a fee of something that the state pays the teachers. And you know the explanation for it was? Well, see, people might vandalize a car, so we feel that it's best to let them drive the cars home daily. So imagine 60 cars, and there was some $678, I think. I might be a little short or too much, but 60 cars that they get compensated for, and the gas, and the maintenance, and the upkeep, and all of that. Now imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to look at, the governor could have looked at that kind of cutting in costs. And I think we probably would have had a different outcome. Instead of, it would maybe not have gone to any furlough days.
Yeah. I think part of our difficulty, you mentioned before that there's this disparity between not helping children get access to public education and promoting things like the robotics programs, the space programs, the spaceport ideas. What troubled us the most was the lack of transparency. Within the DOE itself, the budget process is really, really complicated. I mean, we had a lot of trouble figuring out the budget, which they did share with us. And it is accessible to the general public, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But with regards to the governor's office and why they didn't look a little harder, that's a good question. That was one of the questions we wanted to ask. That's why we were there.
We wanted to know, what has she done to end furloughs? And we never got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the DOE we wanted to understand where was the difference between what the governor proposed and what the DOE-BOE-HSTA agreement. And so they actually shared it with us. They just gave it to us. You know, so we tried our best to figure it out. And, you know, it just made no sense to us whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then finally, even after the arrests and everything, we filed a Freedom of Information Act with the governor's office. We asked for every scrap of paper, every email, every phone message that had anything to do with the furloughs. And you know what came back? Maybe Jill can tell.
Yeah, well, first of all, they've only given us the first half thus far. But a good portion of the material, I'd say a quarter of the material, were responses to our memos, our press releases, our letters to them.
Yeah.
In multiple copies, and they made us pay for those copies.
Yeah, this is consistent with the government here now. You make a request, and then they will then charge you for copying your request that you've made of them.
Right. No,
that's
but
consistent
yeah.
with.
What was shocking was that there were no actual meetings among her staff to discuss anything of importance with regard to the furloughs. Nothing. They hadn't done anything, just as we had feared this whole time.
Yeah, the really shocking thing for me, we did finally get in to, quote, see the governor at the very end after people had been arrested on the last day, the deadline that the legislature had given for ending furloughs for last year, not even thinking about this coming year, but get the governor to release funds that she was sitting on all year to end the furloughs before the last furlough Friday. We were allowed into a press conference, and the governor lied.
She lied, bald-facedly. I mean, it was really shocking. She said there is no deadline, and God bless the press because they went running over to
Marcus Oshiro,
who said yes, there is a deadline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't they know you were educators? I mean, at least, they just saw protesters.
I'm not sure that they were really aware of what was going on in the state, or even in their outer office. I mean,
yeah, it was astonishing. And the idea that they had been at meetings, she was asked specifically by the press, have you been at the meetings? They're claiming that you haven't been at meetings. I've spoken with several members. She was very vague.
Double talking. She had met those people and talked to them, but no, the question was, did you attend the meetings where the negotiations were going on?
Yeah, and she had not.
Now, what I'd like to do at this time, we're going to take a brief break, but what I'd like to do, if Lieutenant Governor Duke Iona's people are listening or will go and check the website, please give us a call at 524-1080 or send me an email at carol@carolcox.com, because under the Lieutenant Governor's office is the Freedom of the Information, Uniform Information Practices Act.
Right.
He is the one that oversees that. He is the one. So maybe with all of this juice that's flowing in him now and the vigor that he showed just last night, it's not too late for him to shepherd your request and possibly refund you back your money. Okay, Mr. Iona, Lieutenant Governor Duke Iona, we'd like to ask you to join in and do the right thing. It is about children, as you say. It is about rise. Rise up and do what's right. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Carol Cox.
Aloha and namaste. My name is Dr. Raj Kumar. I am the president of Gandhi International Institute for Peace. We would like to invite you to celebrate the birthday of one of the world's great leaders, Mahatma Gandhi. The events include multicultural dances, music by Royal Hawaiian Band, and interfaith discussion for world peace. The event starts on October 2nd, 10 a.m. to noon, outside of Honolulu Zoo by the Gandhi statue. Please join us that day. Feel free to bring your towel, mat, beach chair, glasses, and wear white attire for the event. And enjoy the multicultural dances, music, and beautiful speeches from the social leaders and interfaith leaders. For volunteers and donations, please contact Raj Kumar at 808-372-1444 and check out our website www.gandhianpeace.com and email at rkumarhi@yahoo.com. Mahalo.
John Nolan here to tell you about my show. What is the John Nolan Show? Well, we cover small business, politics, entertainment, sports, and wellness. From Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m., right here on K108, 1080 a.m. on your dial. So don't forget the John Nolan Show right here on K108, Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. every day. Aloha.
The John Nolan Show is sponsored by Lennox Meadows, LLC, Recycling and Sustainability, and No Foods of Hawaii. Say yes to no.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We have here Save Our School Hawaii. My guests are Marguerite Higa, Jill Tao, Carrie Lau,
Michael Doyle. And Mr. Doyle was also a candidate for the State House District.
District 40, yes, that's correct.
And Mary Weir, and she's going to join us in a bit here. And she's with the group called FACE, and we'll have her and let her to explain later and what it's about. But, Michael, you were one of the people that got arrested.
Yes, that's correct. I was.
And what you want to tell us about that experience? And why did you, I mean, now, I'm trying to sort this out. Am I starting to admire you for the courage or the lack of being selfish? Because you were running for State House, and you could have said, I don't want to get involved in it. That's not safe, because then nobody would have voted for a criminal.
Right.
But what brought you to this level to participate while you knew you were going to be running for office?
Well, actually, I didn't plan to run for office this year before the sit-in happened.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought about running for office eventually, maybe in 2 years after I finished my bachelor's in political science, which I'll probably finish next year. But I joined the sit-in after I heard about it because I felt that our government was just lacking leadership. You know, I got involved with the Civil Unions Bill, HB 444, last year, and I really learned that our government is not being run the way we're taught in grade school. You know, our little civics lessons is not the perfect way that our government is run, and there's actually a lot of sneaky, underhanded deals and behind the doors stuff that goes on. And I really wanted to make a statement, and when I heard about Save Our Schools doing the sit-in, I immediately felt that I wanted to go down there to support them. And that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. And so you were arrested. And how many days did you participate in the sit-in? And you stayed there overnight?
Right. I joined the sit-in on a Thursday. I joined the sit-in on Friday. They had started on Wednesday. And that the Friday that I started was the day that they started to issue the citations.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed to get the first citation. And then over the weekend was when we moved out to the governor's mansion because we didn't have access to bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
The governor had made sure that all of the bathrooms would be locked so we wouldn't have any access to them while we were staying in her office.
Really?
Right.
Wow. She was going to squeeze you out.
Correct, yeah.
Gotta go.
Right, and if we left the office, we wouldn't be able to come back in. So,
this was their tactics.
Right, yeah.
Did when they gave you the citation, and then after that they arrested you another day, right? Did they search you and put you over and make you do the Macarena and all of that? How did they treat you?
Well, the officers treated us very well, actually. They seemed very reluctant to arrest us. They mm-hmm. they knew the potential consequences of an arrest, and they didn't feel that what we were doing deserved those potential consequences. So,
mm-hmm.
And they were very nice. They took us down to Halava, the Halava prison, where they booked us. And that took about an hour between me and Carrie Lau, who were the first two arrested on the Tuesday night. And after the booking, we got bailed out by Claire Hanus, who's another member of Save Our Schools.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we weren't in there for too long.
Yeah. Mary. You've joined in with us. You're with FACE. Can you tell us what FACE is, or am I saying it right? Mary Weir?
Yes, you are. FACE is Faith Action for Community Equity. We're a grassroots interfaith organization working on social justice issues to improve the quality of life of our members and all the people in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. So how did you participate in the protests, and
yes.
What was your role? Did you get arrested?
And no, I did not.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with SOS Hawaii from the first day of the sit-in.
Mm-hmm.
I spent many days in the governor's office trying to bring attention to this crisis and trying to end it. I'm the parent of two public school graduates And I've been involved in schools and education as a parent and community volunteer for 25 years. I'm extremely driven to providing the opportunity for all children to have a quality education, not just a select few. And it'll only happen when education becomes a true priority in this state. It was not a priority this past year to have the furloughs happen.
Wow. So you were in the original, you got involved at what stage of this? At the original gathering? At the Capitol?
I'd also taken part in gathering, the big gathering that was put on by Hawaii Education Matters, and was following the issue very carefully and trying to organize within FACE to make it the number one priority issue so that we could work on it as a group. We only work on issues that have broad support of our membership. So it takes a while to go through the listening process, find out the concerns of all of our members, and work to and choose which issues we will focus on. This year, fortunately, in April, when we met for our big issues assembly, education was chosen as the number one concern in FACE. So then we were able to start an education task force, and of which I am one of the co-chairs, Karen Ganoza, who is a former PTSA, or former HSTA president, is the other co-chair, and will be working on issues that are important to education. But I'm absolutely driven to do some things to give all children the opportunity for a quality education, and I'm willing to work with any group that is making that happen.
The state capitol was a place where it all started, per se, the first overt of open protest or demonstration.
Right.
What do you see in the future, your group or this effort? Are you going to plan anything in the future? And then can the public, are you seeking their support to ensure? Do you have any guarantees that the furloughs won't occur again?
They're not going to happen this year. So, and I doubt we'll let them happen again. I think if you listen right now, education is on everyone's mind. All of our politicians said that education was important, so we're definitely going to hold them accountable.
And it's easy because it's fresh in our minds, and it occurred on their watch, and those that it occurred on their watch, we should hold them accountable. I mean, and
right.
It's still not too late. I don't tell people who to vote for, but I do tell them and suggest that they go vote and be reminded, have the memory of the elephant. You know, if they are going to ignore us, our community as a whole,
right,
the people of the state here, then we still have time to send them a stronger message like we did last night.
Right.
You know, so right, that's what I'm looking forward to. And, you know, in the future, keep us posted on this thing. And we're not going away, but go ahead. You got one more comment?
No, I also wanted to mention that last summer we presented SOS Hawaii with FACE's Faith and Democracy Award for their courage in standing up for our children and ending the furloughs.
Well, we're going to come back, and my guess is Save Our Schools Hawaii, and we have having a little communication issue here with our music.
Is it all right if I talk about something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
Some of Save Our Schools members are actually forming a Hawaii chapter of Parents for Public Schools, which is a national education advocacy organization. And we would like to let you all know that we're having a visioning retreat on Saturday, October 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, Hawaiian Studies Halau, at the Kamakaokalani building on 2645 Dole Street. It's going to be a potluck brunch, and we're going to be talking about Parents for Public Schools and trying to get more people in the community involved. So if you'd like to come out, please do so. Again, October 23rd from 9 to 11:30, and you can find out more at sos808.org.
Okay. That's about I was going to ask you for a number, but what we'll do, we'll come back and we'll just come back and get back on. And we're trying to shift around. We have 6 or 7 people here, but we'll be right back. Thank you.
A miracle, we're bought someday, feeling hypocritical, demoralized, love's fantasy is not quite it, but it's just parody.
Here to tell you about my show. What is the John Nolan Show? Well, we cover small business, politics, entertainment, sports, and wellness from Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. right here on K108 1080 a.m. on your dial. So don't forget the John Nolan Show right here on K108 Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. every day. Aloha.
The John Nolan Show is sponsored by Lennox Meadows, LLC, Recycling and Sustainability, and No Foods of Hawaii. Say yes to no.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. Vehicles. This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. American hiker Sarah Short, 13 months in an Iranian prison at this hour in New York City.
I'm Steve Knight in New York. Sarah Short will step into brighter lights on the world political stage at a news conference that's scheduled to begin in just a few minutes. Will she criticize Iran, which still holds her two friends and whose president also arrived today for the UN General Assembly? And will she speak more freely about the conditions of her imprisonment now that she's back in the States?
Earlier today, through an interpreter on ABC This Week, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad asked about the release of Shord's two hiking companions still held in solitary confinement.
We want people to be free and not to suffer. But in the end of the day, there's a law that determines who stays in prison and who does not.
5 months after it blew up, causing America's worst ever oil disaster, BP's well in the Gulf of Mexico is officially declared dead by the government.
I'm Dave Cohen in New Orleans. Leaders like the governor's coastal affairs advisor, Garrett Graves, say there's still lots of oil out there, even if the well is permanently sealed.
Under the federal government's oil budget, you have up to 3 million barrels that are still out there in the environment.
He says submerged oil is finding its way to the top and onto the shore every day.
Dutch police today arresting a British man of Somali ancestry. It happened at Amsterdam's airport. Possible links to a terrorist group. Reporter Guy Thornton is there.
It looked like he suspected of being having links with the Somali terrorist organization Al-Shabaab.
That's an infamous terrorist group responsible for years of bloodshed. No longer missing, 13 members of what law enforcement authorities have called a cult-like group in Southern California.
They were just found, discovered alive and well.
L.A. County Sheriff spokesman Steve Whitmore. The group disappeared after leaving behind letters telling family they were waiting for an apocalyptic event, found today in a Los Angeles County park. They were praying. Votes are being counted, so are the bodies in Afghanistan. It's the day after parliamentary elections. CBS's Mandy Clark in Kabul.
Three bodies from the Independent Election Commission, now they're the electoral body monitoring these elections, have been found. Around eight were kidnapped in the lead-up to the elections. They were as many as 20 kidnappings ahead of the elections, which include candidates, campaign workers, and electoral officials. Even three candidates were killed before the parliamentary elections.
Those results won't be known for weeks. Hurricane Igor, still more than 100 miles from Bermuda, already lashing the island. Big waves, strong winds, also expected to bring heavy rain. But one resident says prayers were answered when the hurricane weakened to a Category 1 overnight. Not all the demonstrations in Great Britain this past 4 days are anti-Pope. Students at Ascot College applauding Pope Benedict as he wraps up his trip to Britain, addressing bishops from England, Wales, and Scotland. This is CBS News.
A message from Public Notice BankruptingAmerica.org.
If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you should do is stop digging. Right now, Washington is spending and spending and spending at an alarming rate. They've overspent by $13 trillion, nearly the size of our entire economy, and they're not stopping. You don't have to be an economist to see how this level of spending is unsustainable. It isn't creating jobs, isn't moving the economy forward. It's just not working.
Hello?
The bridge to nowhere was a drop in the bucket. Today, Washington is spending billions on special interest projects, like tunnels for turtles and digging for fossils in other countries.
Anybody up there?
We have the power to hold Congress accountable. Learn more and get the facts at bankruptingamerica.org.
Hello? A little help down here?
Let's climb out of this hole. Learn more at bankruptingamerica.org. Paid for by Public Notice. Bankruptingamerica.org.
Some success reported in the global battle against the scourge known as AIDS.
The head of the Infectious Diseases Institute in Kampala, Uganda, sees progress in combating his country's AIDS crisis.
10 years ago, nearly everyone who was HIV positive would die because there were no drugs. 10 years later, in 2010, at least a half of those who need treatment are getting those drugs, are getting those treatments, and are staying alive, which means that their children are not being orphaned. So, to me, that is the greatest success story so far.
Dr. Alex Coutinho thanks American companies and individuals for donating medicines and training for doctors and nurses. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Feeling sorry for yourself? A Frenchman whose arms and legs were amputated has completed his swim across the English Channel. He had expected the tough crossing to take up to 24 hours, but he finished in just 13 and a half. His father says three dolphins joined the swimmer for a time. They took that as a sign of luck. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
New at the Home Depot, save even more with 10% off essentials every day. Just use your Home Depot consumer credit card on household batteries, trash bags, light bulbs, and furnace builders. And spend $100 with your card and get a free hour of truck rental. We're lowering the cost of running your home with 10% off the essentials. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half of Good Things, and didn't hear from any of you out there, and I'm assuming you're either just happy your kids are gone off and working and gone off abroad, and you got them out of the house, and kid issues are no issues with you, but again, if nothing but a comment of support, and if you have questions for these good people from Save Our Schools. And I was here with Mr. Doyle, Michael Doyle, and another young lady has joined us, and share with us your background and all. Carrie Lau.
Hi, I'm Carrie Lau.
And you with what, Carrie? What group are you with, and what was your role? Did you get arrested?
Yeah.
You did? Can you just tell us about what went on with that arrest, and why did you get involved? Do you have children?
No. I just got involved because I think education is important, whether you go to public school or you're a parent or you go to private school. I think it's important for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And so are you a student or do you work?
I go to UH Manoa. I'm a grad student.
Grad student. What's going to be your specialty?
American Studies.
Wow. So you took time away from homework and school and risk going down to support this effort.
Yeah.
That's admirable.
Yeah. But when we were it started off with a small nucleus of us, and we just decided, well, we're just not going to take no for an answer anymore. We're going to just go there. If she's not going to talk to us, we're just going to wait until she talks to us. And, you know, we talked about being discouraged about people not coming out, you know, to join us and things like that. But we're like, okay, well, you know, we're just going to go for it, and we're just going to see, does anybody care? And so we went down there and started. And then all of these great people joined us, you know. And it was just so awesome to get their support at that moment. We were so low. We were so, you know, depressed, tired. You know, it was crazy. But they just brought us so much energy. And we found out that they were just as pissed off about the situation as we were, you know. And we had people who had kids, who didn't have kids, who were young people, you know, who were, you know, had older children. And that was really what motivated us. And in those dark hours, you know, we're like, are we going to stay? You know, should we stay? And then they gave us the energy. Yeah, we're going to stay. We're not going to leave until we find out why the heck the kids are not in school anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was really upsetting to me was, you know, they kept changing the rules. Like, first of all, they told us, okay, you can stay. You're welcome to stay overnight, but we're going to turn off the air conditioning. It goes off at 4:30. We're like, okay. And first they told us you can use the bathroom, but then at like 4:25 on the first night, they're like, you're not going to be able to use the bathroom, and you have to go downstairs to use the bathroom, and if you do that, you won't be able to come back in. And we had kids with us that first night, and they told us this 5 minutes before closing, I think, trying to get us out. And then they just kept ramping up the rules. You know,
every day was a new rule, and then it was like we couldn't plug in our laptops anymore, so we had to sneak in, you know, our power cords and hide it under the tables, you know. So every day was like something else, like, you know, like a new level. So it had to be something new. And then it was like, okay, no snacks. So we had to hide things in our backpacks.
Wait.
No snacks and water.
Was this protest held at Alcatraz or the state capitol?
Yeah. So, you know, politicians would come in and, like, you know, bring us, like, juice and, you know, fruit or...
Who were these politicians?
We had, I think Marcus Oshiro was one of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had Lila Berg. We had a lot of Neil Abercrombie's people.
Neil's people came.
Was
turned away,
though.
Yeah.
No,
they had to be turned away, actually. A lot of them.
Were turned away. They wouldn't allow them to bring you juice, water, food.
They said no new food.
No. So we had things set up in the beginning. And then after a while there was no new food.
Yeah. First they said you can have food and water, of course, and then like no new food, and then
new foods, and they wanted to check our bags.
And then somebody brought us up some fruit because, you know, I don't know, we just had whatever people gave us. So we didn't plan this. We just sort of ended up doing it.
Because you wanted a dialogue. You were just going to talk.
It was a spur of the moment.
We had muffins and stuff like that, and we're getting tired of eating cookies and muffins, and so some people brought us some fruit. And then the security guard came in, the sheriff came in and said, no fruit. We're like, what? No fruit? You know, can we exchange some of the food we have for some more healthy food? No. There's no new fruit.
Wow.
And I felt bad for the sheriff people because they didn't know the rules either. They were just making it up. I think they were, like, getting the information from somewhere.
That little box that I talked about. Use these rules as you need them.
They were, like, pulling cards from somewhere. I don't know. Like, little secret messages.
Mm-hmm. Did they have strings running up their back or...
Well, they would disappear into the back office, and then they would come back and talk to us about something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I have to say that the sheriffs in the governor's office were very nice, and you could tell that they really didn't want to be doing this.
Yeah,
yeah. Generally, most of the officers are very compassionate, and they're
getting their orders.
HPD and all of them. I mean, they understand because it's a family. This is an island, but even so, they understand.
I mean, they were like playing with our kids, and you know, I mean, they're just very kind people. sort of stuck in a kind of a.
So they ran Mr. Abercrombie's folks away and chased.
They chased several people away with food.
And they came to help you.
They just came to show support and give us something to eat. And so then after that, we had to eat outside, right?
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah, right now, before we came. But
did Mr. Iona show up to offer you any?
No.
He didn't rise to the occasion?
No.
He was right across the way. He never came
over. Nope. We didn't know if he was still around. I mean,
now, this furlough effort or debacle or whatever you want to call it, gave the state of Hawaii a dubious distinction here of being ranked 163rd in the nation for education. Is that... What how is that set with you? I mean, what were we before this ranking?
The furloughs did not help our ranking. Actually, we could never move forward on any education reform, do anything, until the furloughs ended. So it was puzzling to me why everyone didn't get behind ending the furloughs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was fully expecting the governor to step out of her office at any time and say, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided to release the money, and it's time that we put children first. But education simply was not the priority of many people within our government, as far as I'm concerned.
Did this jeopardize, you spoke it jeopardized many things, did it jeopardize rise to the top?
It would have been very difficult to win the second round of the race to the top,
mm-hmm.
had we not ended the furloughs. What ending the furloughs did was bring all of the sides together. And I think the furloughs did make people realize that we have to work together. All of our groups have to work together to have true education reform.
Wow.
One of the most positive thing that came out of the furloughs was that the instructional minutes bill was passed. And so Hawaii not only had the fewest school days, we have the shortest school days. So if you add up all the hours that kids are in school, our ranking is very low. It's at the bottom. Most kids go to school around the country, go to school an hour a day longer than our kids, or
mm-hmm.
about that much. And so I don't think it would have passed, you know, but there was so much momentum behind the bill that now it's passed, and we have a guaranteed minimum number of school days, 180 per year, and over the next 5 years, the amount of time that kids are going to spend in school is going to gradually be increased. so that they can have enough time to, you know, get the quality education that they deserve.
Now, how will it impact the kids that were out during that year? I mean, how is, are they going to catch up?
It's gone. You know, the thing that is really, you know, just upsetting to me is that, you know, I saw kids lose confidence in themselves. How do you get that back? You know, when you feel like you were a good student or a decent student, but then you start to feel like, oh, I'm not as good as I thought I was. How do you get that back? Or if kids, if school becomes a drudgery, you know, because all your field trips are gone, all of your opportunities for enrichment activities are gone, everything is so compressed that all you're doing is preparing for the standardized tests at the end of the year. I mean, that's what happened last year. Mm-hmm. And school is just a drag now. How do you get that excitement back? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we spend years trying to get kids excited about learning. I mean, that's what every parent and teacher hopes for. And I just don't know, you know, how we're going to get that back.
Wow. So with all of this going on, what did the BOE do? Do you believe that they had a positive action or that they contributed? Can you just describe for the listeners your opinion and you give your own, share your impression or what you experienced?
I think all of the different groups could have done more. There's just a sense of hopeless, or has been a sense of hopelessness and pessimism among the people of Hawaii concerning public education. And they really don't realize that things can change and are changing. But it is, you know, it can only happen if we all work together and put education as a priority.
Okay, so I mean, you know, when we learned that the BOE could have stopped this, they could have blocked the furloughs. They didn't have to agree to the furloughs. That made us really upset. You know, and we wanted to know, what were they thinking, you know? I mean, are they there to be advocates for kids or not? You know, and we met with them, and, you know, I think that they're sincere, you know, in wanting to advocate for the kids, but in a sense, they don't, sometimes you feel that they don't quite get it. I mean, you know, they kept saying, I guess Garrett Toguchi was saying that he thought it was better that we didn't have massive teacher layoffs than having this, you know, that was a better solution. And we were just shocked. I mean, in order for education to happen, first of all, school has to be open. And it was kind of clear that some of those fears about massive layoffs were a bit exaggerated. I mean, you know, that wasn't going to be like that, really. Mm-hmm. And there just wasn't enough motivation to keep schools open, really.
So, for my purpose, for my understanding of this, the race to the top was, they were pursuing that, but it was known that the furloughs would jeopardize that and compromise it and would be no way possible?
Yes. We got letters from Arne Duncan saying that
because of the furloughs. So why did they continue to pursue it? Did the letters come after the fact?
No.
So they knew.
They knew. But
and they presented to the public that there was a possibility that we could obtain?
Here the governor was turning down the opportunity to win $75 million, bring that into the state. So it really didn't make much sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody was just hoping that the governor would eventually change her mind and end the furloughs. I mean, the whole thing started because, you know, there was a big stimulus package, right? And I forget how much it was, but it was over $200 million that was awarded to Hawaii. And the main purpose was to keep schools open. And what happened was the governor took that money and shifted it because there was some technicality where you could still get the money as long as you kept funding at 2006 levels. Mm-hmm. So she cut the DOE's budget back to 2006, and then she put that stimulus money into the general funds to balance the budget, and the schools were cut 14% across the board. I mean, you tell me that you can cut 14% and not have the kids be impacted.
And then the BOE and others made representation that race to the top was a possibility while we knew it was jeopardized.
Well, I think people are trying to keep the candles burning at both ends, you know? They're trying to go for everything they can.
Rules are rules, and I mean, if Arne Duncan is saying, and it's coming from his department, I don't think you can trick the trickster. Anyway, we've got a call for you, folk. Good morning, Pam, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Good morning.
Got a question?
I just wanted to say that as a private citizen, I just really respect your guests for what they did and for their willingness to exercise their constitutional rights of civil disobedience and to make a statement. And I think it's very hopeful that Neil Abercrombie did mention, I remember during one of the debates regarding education, and he said that furlough Fridays would never have happened under his administration, because you don't just start cutting budgets blindly. First, you establish your list of priorities. And so if education is a top priority for us, then that should be off limits anyway. And that's what he was saying. So I think with your dedication and commitment, and hopefully we'll get a better start now here in Hawaii with our education. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much. Yeah. Thank you. That's really awesome. I just want to encourage everyone who cares about education to please join us in forming Parents for Public Schools. It's a national organization, and we're trying to form a Hawaii chapter. And you can call 375-3917. That's 375-3917 to join. Because a lot of people, we do get lots of messages of support, and they say, you know, I really believe in what you did, and I thank you, but, you know, I can't get arrested. We just want to tell people, that's okay, you don't have to get arrested. But please come join us.
And I would join you too, but I'm afraid they take away my fruits. I love my fruit. I mean, that would be the death of me and my bananas and plums. Oh, I would rather go to jail for 18 years than you take away my fruit.
Yeah, they'll probably give you fruit in jail though.
Yeah, I think that they deal a lot at the Capitol, but in jail.
So let me see now. If do you have a T-shirt? I went to jail for caring.
We should make some.
but don't put any art on it, because it'll be a political statement.
No, of course not. Yeah, it's really, people really do care about education. I mean, we hear it all the time, but it is really hard to get the word out. And mm-hmm. So, you know, the thing that we did after all of this, after the teach-in, I mean, we're just exhausted from doing all this stuff, but we did these candidate forums on education. So we had one for Board of Education, one for Lieutenant Governor, and one for Governor. And so, you know, it's like small steps, but I think that it's going to grow. And I feel fortunate, because some of the media have actually been very supportive, and they've come out to film our events and report about them. And so I think, you know, as we build up a network, it'll help to bring education to be a bigger issue in Hawaii.
So can you send us a link to carolcox.com when you're having these events? And also,
definitely,
because it is about education, and I'd like to see, hearing your stories now I know why I was interested. I knew something was going on behind the scenes. But so in the future, if you folk want to come on for an hour and without my color to it and all, and because you know, I have a different angle of the way I see things. So I think when you arrest people who are saying put our kids back in school, and I think you're insane, and that's criminal in itself. When you are holding money and shifting money and moving money, you're not criminals as far as I'm concerned. And I still think that it's not too late, that our legislators, they couldn't get involved because they could lose a job. But I'm asking, and I'll write a letter and ask them, why don't they give you a letter, a proclamation or something, for just having the guts to do what you did? I will make it short. Yeah, and that is, it's admirable.
Yes.
And I don't think there's enough words to describe it, to what you've endured, all because, I mean, you running for office and you give that up and throw that to the wind and could be labeled as a criminal, and, you know, all your opponent had to say, well, you know, this guy has no respect for the governor's quarters, you know. He's a radical.
Right, well, my main goal is not to hold a political office. It's to make sure that our priorities are where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I joined the sit-in because it was very obvious that education was not a priority in this state, as well as other things that should be a priority, you know, taking care of our environment and, you know, fighting for equality for everyone within our state.
Well, if you run again, I'm not going to go on public and say that, but I will lick your stamps and send envelopes because you got my respect, okay? That's what we need, politicians who don't care about themselves, but because they say, if you put me on that machine, I can run it. I don't worry about the dust or the loud noise. I can do it because it's good for us all, so you got my thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then April, or Carrie. You better get back to school. But it's admirable, too, that you would, as a student, to put things aside to go and intervene. And Ms. Weir,
yeah.
As you said, it's not W-E-I-R-D. No, I think it's brilliant that what you're doing. And Marguerite. And it just, Jill. Right? And that's T-A-O, right?
Yeah.
So...
And I just want to say how, you know, these two, Carrie and Michael, were the first people to get arrested. And, you know, we just felt horrible. I felt so horrible because I was okay with getting arrested, but I hadn't actually gotten the 3 citations. They got the 3 citations first, and you had to get the 3 in order to get arrested first. And, you know, we were trying to... I don't know. I felt so horrible. I'm like, can you wait another day and maybe we can all get arrested at the same time? But, you know, but why did you, you know, why
we
did you...
felt that we should do it now to put more pressure on the situation because mm-hmm. we didn't know what would happen the next day.
Right. It was a very, very time sensitive issue. You know, our deadline was approaching really quickly. And I think the way that we did it turned out to be, well, you know, it got a lot of attention to the issue.
Beautiful. Got another caller. Caller, you have a comment, a question?
Good morning, and as a veteran of the civil rights movement in the late 50s and 60s, I applaud you. I've been listening all morning with tears in my eyes, remembering all that we went through to get to where we are today. And my heart and my soul, my love for you, I just don't know what else to say. And how proud I am of you young people. And somehow it all works. I don't know why, I don't know how. But with the kind of love and energy you have, we'll be so much better for it. So thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's really awesome to thank you for that words of support.
Well, what I'd like to do is offer you now for in the future when you, if you want to put together a show where you, I'll let you have the hour.
Okay.
And you can come in and share more or whatever without my commentary, okay. Michael. Because I might get you in trouble even the next time you show up at the governor's office. They want to just shoot you or taser you or something. God forbid if you had to ask them for a drink of water. You probably...
Well,
but what you should have done is to say that we want to protest. While sitting here, we want to protest HB 444 against it, and then we want to talk about hating people, and then can we pray with the governor? We just want a private prayer. You wouldn't have gotten arrested. So next. Yes, good morning, Celeste. Are you there?
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to thank your panel there for being so brave and for, you know, having a passion and acting on it. And I wanted to say also that it's easy to sit, for most of us, to sit back and complain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on what was happening with this, oh, I can't believe that they would have jeopardized our standing. Wasn't the money was raised to the top, and the people who did that I didn't realize they were holding back food and all this other, like the other lady said before me, that they did all this. It just seems so against what we stand for, well, what we should stand for, you know, which is educating our students to the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was tough for people. I mean, it got so warm in the governor's office overnight that we sort of discovered after a few days that people were getting dehydrated. And so we would have to take turns, we'd have to take shifts. So you could, you know, stand a night or two, but then you'd had to go out. Otherwise, you know, they'd be taking us away in ambulances, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't usually call in shows, but I was so touched by what you said and feel a little guilty about not having done anything myself. But I do really, truly thank you for having the guts, as you say, to having the passion for what you know is right to withstand all this other crap that was going on.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Carol, thank you for the show.
It was really magic.
Anytime.
Because, like, you know, the money was always there. It was there before the furloughs. It was there after the furloughs. And that, you know, that just, it just drove us crazy. We had to do it. We just had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say to those out there that say, well, you put yourself in that predicament. How would you respond to that? What's your reply to them?
Well, we had to put ourselves in that predicament because we're fighting for something that we really believe in, and we know the dangers, and we knew the dangers, but we still had to do it because it's something that's really important. So we knew the risk, and I think we're aware of that, and we're fine to face that risk to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even if we did get dehydrated and had to be carried off in an ambulance, I would be totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had to go to the hospital and get an IV, I'm fine with that. I'm not afraid of needles.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be okay.
Now, were there children during the full time there, and were they being deprived of the food? Did the deprivation of food and water and fruit come before the children left, or were there?
That was funny. I mean, people were actually at first angry with us because they thought we were keeping our kids out of school to sit in the governor's office. And that was
kids were at
of
school.
Yeah. The kids would get picked up in the morning and taken to school, and then they would come back, but not, you know, my daughter stayed over two nights on different, not non-consecutive nights. It was really physically hard, and so we just, you know, when we saw that they were tired or whatever, we just wouldn't let them. But they really wanted to be with us.
They thought it was fun, actually.
Yeah.
They played all night, and they played with the security, and actually the security shared, like, french fries with them.
Yeah.
They shared food with the kids, and we thought that was, you know, pretty cool.
Now, that's when we won't name names.
I think they got in trouble for sharing the fries.
Yeah.
But,
really?
I mean, they're kids, so, you know, I think that's okay to cut them some slack, so, you know.
Why? Why were you dismissed from your job? Well, I gave a kid three french fries.
Yeah. Yeah. You were supposed to be mean to those children.
Boy, it's...
But it was a real civics lesson for the kids, you know,
yeah.
And for us, too.
Mm-hmm. And quite naturally, logistically, many people couldn't attend for cost of living,
and
some of them, the parents. But did you get support from the parents? How did have you gotten any positive or negative responses from the parents of these children? What have been the general reaction?
We got a lot of slack for because Michael and I got arrested first. A lot of people did say, why are students getting arrested and not parents? Well, you know, our thing was like, oh, and plus we don't have children, Michael and I. And why do we, like, they said, why do we care? And I'm like, why shouldn't we care about education? You know, education involves everyone, I think, whether we're in K through 12 or in college, or whether we're just
a citizen who doesn't have kids. You know, everyone should care about education. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everyone pays taxes, I'm assuming.
No, those that live in the big houses don't.
Right. That's true.
Historical big houses.
$900 a year. Right. And, you know, so we got a lot of flack about that. And we got citations because our schedules are more flexible because we are in college, and we don't have to take care of children or listen to a spouse, you know. So we were there afterwards, and we didn't have to go home to our families.
Mm-hmm.
So we got cited, we got multiple citations, or the three citations first, because, you know, we were more readily available.
Mm-hmm.
So, I felt really bad for, the parents, because they, you know, they were criticized for not, you know, getting arrested first, or, mm-hmm. you know, getting the more citations and
right.
everything, so it wasn't fair.
And we went through the public education system, so we realized how important it is to maintain a high-quality education for the future of all of the students.
Yeah. Now, can you, each of you, describe or tell us, update us on the status of your cases and what transpired and what's the final disposition?
Well, we were very fortunate, and we were represented by Eric Seitz.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were 20 of us that got citations, and we just had our final court date last Friday. And we were trying to negotiate with the attorney. Eric was very concerned that we not have anything on our criminal records, because anyone who got two or more citations had a criminal trespass,
mm-hmm.
which would have been a petty misdemeanor on our record. But all they offered us, okay, well, you are repeat lawbreakers. You are knowingly, repeatedly breaking the law. So they're very adamant. If you had one citation, you were to get 15 hours of community service. If you had two, you were going to get 30. And then if you had three, if you were, like, bad enough to get arrested, you were going to have a total of 60 hours of community service. And, in exchange for having no charges on our record, basically it's like a traffic citation.
Mm-hmm.
But, they were just completely unwilling to even talk to us or explain to us why, what's the rhyme or reason behind these penalties, you know. And some of us actually wanted to just pay a fine. I mean, you know, okay, fine, we're okay with a penalty, but can we pay a fine or a partial fine or whatever? No discussion. You repeatedly broke the law. This is more than generous, and we feel that public service is a just punishment for the terrible crimes we committed. And it's fine, right? I mean, ultimately it's fine. But so some of us took the deal. 9 of us took the deal, and then 11 of us rejected the deal, and we just wanted to go before the judge.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually okay with getting criminal charges on my record, because I thought it was ridiculous, honestly, because I don't know. I'm not a legal person, but as far as I understand, like, a DUI, first-time offender conviction, is about 72 hours of community service. So they're saying that we're as bad as a DUI offender. You know, like, I'm sorry, but we weren't endangering the public in any way. And I just didn't like that. But in the end, I don't know what happened, but somehow I was offered no option but to just take the deal. So now I have to fit in 60 hours of community service in between baseball and soccer practice and volunteering with SOS and my full-time job and all that stuff. And I don't mean to, like, you know, it's fine. I did what I did for the reasons I did, and that's fine. But it was just, the whole thing was just really bizarre.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking for community service work to do, or they take it for you?
We made arrangements we wanted to do something with schools, so we made arrangements to do it for the DOE.
Okay, and you're going to teach the DOE and the BOE to rise to the occasion. So that is what the status is, and I look back and I think, you know, that in prison, if you're incarcerated, you have to get food served to you on a certain condition or become inhumane treatment. While you guys weren't incarcerated, hadn't been arrested, and they were depriving you of food.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't that ironic? But, you know, Mr. Sykes, Eric Sykes, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that he did this free of charge.
Yes, he did. Yes.
He represented all 20 of you.
Yes.
For free.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
See, that's what's nice about this. You know, you see Eric Sykes on TV quite a bit,
yeah,
rising to the occasion.
A lot,
you know,
of people came to our aid. I mean, they wanted to support, and so we really, really appreciate it. Because without the support of all these other people that you don't see, you know, we couldn't have gone as far as we did.
Yeah, that's why I'm careful. We loosely tell lawyer jokes, but lawyers do rise to the occasion. So, and I'm sure you can appreciate.
Yeah, well, some of our important members are lawyers, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, they really, really did do yeoman's duty to,
mm-hmm,
help us.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm just thinking now, we had a chance to race to the top, but we had furlough, and the furlough prevented us from getting it, or if Donnie
race to the bottom.
Oh, okay. Okay. So Arnie Duncan sent a letter saying that. Do you have a copy of that letter, or is it available to the public, or you have to pay $10 for that copy?
No, we do, and it's somewhere on our website, because we wrote to Arnie Duncan ourselves multiple times, and they sent us back a letter saying that we understand and we wish we could do more, but they told us, in fact, Hawaii was awarded this many hundreds of millions of dollars specifically for education.
Mm.
It just wasn't being applied to education.
Please, if you could steer me and help me get a copy of that.
Sure.
And so we were telling the media, and we had us biting our nails there sitting going, are we going to win? Are we going to win? And are we going to win? When, in fact, as we were describing it now, it was in jeopardy from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a bit of deceit on someone's part. I don't know whom, or inaccurately reflecting what the facts were. And I would like to have known these details as a citizen, you know, because I was hoping, wow, you mean that's going to boost us. But I do know that they were quite frequently showing and parading the robotics, and I think at the same time they were telling us how the robotics were doing, and I thought, wow, this is pitching their story and hiding behind it, but that's just my view. Am I off base?
Oh no, in fact, when the sit-in was pretty much over and we had decided that the deadline has passed, and the governor finally opened up her office because she was hosting a whole bunch of dignitaries to announce the the agreement between UH and NASA to
concentrate
a telescope and concentration on space research, and that Hawaii was going to be the spaceport center of cutting edge research in space sciences. And so after that press conference was over, which was basically promotion for the state, they let us into the conference room.
And you didn't get arrested?
No. Well, we'd already been arrested at that point. So they let us in so that we could listen to the governor tell us in person what was going to happen. Actually, no, we hadn't been arrested at
that
point.
No, that was before.
It was before. If people were going to stay that night again, that was when she announced that people who had two citations and were cited again were going to be arrested.
Now, let me ask you, where was the governor while you were there in the office? Was she present? Or
in the
what?
Back room. And you know that there's an elevator inside so that she can go in and out without seeing anybody.
Okay.
And she kept sneaking out the back door.
And
the only time was in the parking lot as she was going home or going to the Nu'uanu YMCA, I guess, to work out. Somebody would see her and like, I saw a governor, she's here.
Mm.
But no, she never once came out to see, even to show her face, much less talk to
her. Wow, it doesn't sound like she needed a parking lot for a car. It looked like she needed to look in the closet for a broom. You know, this is bad business if this is what transpired.
Well, we just couldn't understand it because, I mean, it didn't do her any good. I mean, it certainly didn't help her politically to have us in her office. And she just didn't seem to know what to do with us. I think it was Dave Shapiro who wrote a column and said, you know, look,
the OHA had protesters in their office a few years back, and they did the right thing. They did the island thing. They brought them in. They fed them. They said, what do you want? They didn't do what the protesters wanted, but they treated them with respect.
Right.
And we got no love at all in that office. I mean, the staff was okay.
No, they were.
But
yeah, we tried our best, you know. I mean, they the first night they asked us, would you mind just moving all your things and sitting in this one corner? So we're like, okay, whatever. So we confined ourselves to one corner, and then they said, you know, can you keep it down and, you know, be, you know, because we have important business going on here. So we did, you know, we tried to be very, very quiet and all that stuff. You know, so when the governor came out, the first response we got from the governor was actually a press release. It wasn't actually sent to us. It was sent directly to the press. And it said that, you know, something like a small group of parents and something about that we were impeding important public business, occupying the office, and that this wasn't the way to do things, and all this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, we were just floored, shocked. Like, so we came out to the press and we said, you know, we've been patiently waiting here for, you know, 7 days round the clock, and, you know, hello, we're aunties, moms, dads, grandmas, concerned citizens. We're the public. The kids, we're the public. And we're here on important public business. I mean, the education of 170,000 school kids. So, you know, it just really showed the kind of complete out-of-touch frame of mind that was going on in that office.
Sounds like a number of people were out of touch. Here I'm reading a little quote from USA Today, quoting, you get to the question of quality versus quantity. The results are not in yet, but I would guess that the quality is still there, even though the days may have been decreased, he said. Pennebaker pointed out other school systems have laid off teachers and increased average class size, something Hawaii chose not to do. Is that...
Well,
what does that mean? It sounds like a cool statement, but what did it advance the ball any closer
to
the...
Of course, there's quality and there's quantity, of course. But when you cut the quantity down so far, you are definitely going to affect quality. The problem is that Hawaii's amount of time in school was already below the bar. And so now what you're really, it's just drilling for the HSA testing. You know, when you remove... So the way that it happened was because Hawaii went to a year-round school calendar, and then furlough started October 23rd, and there were 17 of them. Essentially, the kids had 4 day school weeks for the entire rest of the year.
Three and a half, really.
Yeah, three and a half, because
most Wednesdays are half days anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you think about, okay, you work, right? What would you do if you only had 3.5 days a week to get your entire job done? How's that going to affect things? And these are children, and they're learning, and learning is hard. I mean, you know, every week they're learning new stuff, and they have to master it. And so you definitely are going to erode quality when you cut back that far.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you be interested in taking up my offer of coming back, and if you want to put together and update the people on what's developing, you're always welcome to come. If nothing, if you want to call in or come in. And that way we won't have to worry about someone covering you, because if I'd have known about the race to the top and the $200 million and this and that, I would have had a different approach. I probably would have found my way on radio here trying to encourage others to get involved. So I want to thank you all for coming, and Save Our Schools is the name of the group, and it's Margaret Higa, Jill Towell, Carrie Lau, Michael Doyle, and Miss Mary Weir. And to go to their website, www.sos808.org, 636-3283 for support. Go ahead real quick, either of you, we're going to close down, but go ahead, information.
And please also join us in Parents for Public Schools. It's really a big open to everybody who cares at all about education. And the number to contact is 375-3917, 375-3917, or go to our sos.808.org website, and we'll have information there as well.
Okay, I want to thank all of you. And Carrie, you're my hero.
Thank you.
Michael, you're my Mary. Thank you. And if any time there's something you need out on the air and all, and we'll take up other subjects next week. And I know some of you probably says, why didn't we talk about politics? Well, the people sent strong messages last night, and I think we'll let that statement stand. And so that's it was admirable, and I'm just like many of you calling in admiring these people. You listeners out there and the voters, right on. You didn't buy it, and thank you. I'm glad that I speak to you daily. So aloha, and you can pick this up at Carol at carolcox.com, CARROLLCOX.com. Aloha.
Just a little loving early in the morning beats a cup of coffee for starting off the day. Just a little loving when the world is yawning makes you wake up feeling good, things are coming your way. Just a little loving early in the morning, a little extra something to kind of see them through. Nothing turns the day on, really gets it dawning, like a little bit of loving from some loving of someone like you.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
This is